hear what Paul writes to the church in Romans. He says, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into the hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We all make dreams. We all make wishes. One of my favorite scenes in any movie is from the movie Goonies. It came out 25 years ago, so this is not a spoiler alert, just so you know. And if you have not seen it, you should. It's a really good movie. But this scene from Goonies is about this group of Goonies, which are kind of like outcast people, kids. And they set out to find this one last hurrah before their houses are sold and demolished and made into a golf course. They're seeking One Eye Willie's treasure. It's a pirate. And they get to this place, to these caverns and the mishaps, and they get to this place where there's water falling and there's money everywhere. And they look and they start gathering it up really quickly because they think that this is the treasure in which they are seeking. And one of them realizes that it's not the treasure, that it's the Moss Garden Wishing Well, the famous wishing well from the town that people have gone to for years and thrown money in to make wishes. And Mouth, who's one of the characters who likes to run his mouth, he gets a coin, and he picks it up, and he holds it. And he says, "Yeah, but you know what? This one right here, this is my dream. This is my wish, and it didn't come true. So I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back." And he begins to gather up the coins. We all make wishes, right? We've all thrown money into a well. We've all seen a star in the sky and sang that nursery rhyme, "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might have the wish I wish tonight." Even in California, where there's only like two stars in the sky, my kids know that nursery rhyme. So it's much more difficult for here in Arizona, where there's a lot less smog and a lot more stars, for them to see that first star at night. But they still know that nursery rhyme. They still make those wishes. It isn't just coins or stars that we wish on. People make wishes on all kinds of things. Eyelashes, ladybugs when they land on you, blowing out candles on a birthday cake, and some it's more blowing than others, seeing a shooting star in the sky, a clock turning 11:11, taking the wishbone out of a turkey and breaking it. I never know who gets the wish. Whether it's the big piece, the little piece, one of the pieces, they get the turkey, they get the wish. And there's some wishes I've even heard of, like seeing 8 magpie. If you see 8 magpie at a time, supposedly that's good luck, and you're supposed to make a wish on that. Or seeing a chip folded in half. If you see a chip folded in half, you're supposed to eat it in 5 bites, and that's called a wishing chip. Things you learn in church. For over the centuries, people have made wishes. They've sought to see things true. But many times, the wishes we make, they don't come true. Wishes are interesting because, by very definition, they are a want of something that cannot or probably will not happen. It's true. I don't know if I've ever wished for something that I actually thought I was going to get. When I was 10 years old, I remember wishing to be able to drive. Not at 16, but at 10. I wanted to drive. It didn't come true. Or the elementary school that I grew up in, the playground was right next to a train track, the train yard there in Avon, and all the trains came out, ran by that. And cars would be on those trains, and tanks would be on those trains. And I remember outside playing on the playground, and it was close. It was close enough that you could throw a rock and hit the train. That's how close those train tracks were. Not that I would promote that, or you should do that, but you could throw a rock and hit the train. But we would sit there and we would wish that these tanks, at least I would, I don't know about anybody else, would somehow come loose and fall off of the train with the keys inside it. And nobody would notice, and therefore we could drive a tank. Why? I don't know what fun a tank would be. It would just be fun to drive a tank. You know, as a kid growing up, I had a lot of time to think, I think, and I had an overactive imagination. But those were the wishes I had when I was a kid, that a tank would fall off a train and that I could drive it. It never happened. Just throw that out there. It never happened. And even though, you know, we made our fair share of wishes growing up, I've always known the difference between making a wish that something might happen and having hope that something will happen. To have hope is, by definition, is to look forward to something with desire and reasonable confidence that it will happen. As opposed to probably not happening, hope has a good chance of happening. We hope for a better day tomorrow. We hope that people feel better. With hope there is this sense that things will be better. And during this time of Advent season, I thought a lot about hope. What hope is, where hope comes from, where hope lies, and what hope actually looks like. And as I was reflecting on hope, I was drawn to the story of Matthew 2, the story of the Magi, the story of the wise men, also known as the kings and other stories. And I was looking at this story of the Magi, and I was unfolding their story like layers of an onion. There's lots of tradition that surrounds who the Magi were, who these wise men were, their names, where they're from, what they did when they returned, the stories of their greatness. But those are stories that tradition tells us. None of it is actually in the Bible. We assume that there's three because they bring three gifts. But nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that there are just three wise men. But what I want to focus today is not on tradition, but is on what we do know, the story of hope that they must have had to set out on that journey. To understand the hope that they had, we must understand a few things about this class of Magi. History, not tradition, tells us that Magi were priests. They were like the Israelites, Levites. They were not kings. They were probably from Persia, which was about 900 miles away from where Jesus was born. And they were teachers and advisors to kings. They were well respected. And because of that, when they came into Jerusalem and they sought King Herod, they could get an audience with him because of who they were, the circles in which they ran with. Magi, being advisors and teachers, would have been skilled in philosophy and politics. They would have been the local doctors. They would have known natural science. And maybe more importantly for our story, they would have had a firm understanding of astronomy. As men who studied the stars, they, like most people of the time, believed that stars could tell the future. So when they saw a change in the stars, and they saw something abnormal happening, they believed something great was happening. These wise men who spent their entire lives studying, training, teaching others, they found truth. That was their job. When they saw this star in the heavens appeared, it wasn't just a wish for them. It was hope. So what was it that made these calculated scientists of the time, these people who thought very methodically about every decision they made, what made these wise men set out on a journey that did not necessarily seem so wise to a small, insignificant city in Bethlehem? One reason was is during this time in Persia, there was this understanding that the stars would foretell of a time when God would leave heaven and come and be amongst his people, that a Savior would be born, that a ruler would be manifested of God here on earth. In their studies and in their research, when they saw this star, they knew exactly what it meant. They knew that hope that that star meant, that God, who sat over the universe, was leaving heaven to be with us, to be a human, to be one of them. And with that hope in mind, they set out on this journey of a lifetime to find the Emmanuel, which means God with us, to find the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, to find the baby Jesus. The journey of hope, though, did not stop the day the three wise men or the wise men showed up to Mary and Joseph's door. The journey continues with us today. See, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. A hope that does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The hope that entered the world the night that Jesus was born is the same hope that sustains us today. Paul tells us in these times of sorrow that we are to have hope. He tells us in all things we are to have hope. We are supposed to boast in the hope that is God's glory. He also tells us that having hope, even if it doesn't turn out the way we hoped for, is nothing to be ashamed of, because God's love has been poured into us. Hope is the feeling that things will be better. When a loved one gets sick and is dying, we are to have hope. When we lose our jobs, we are to have hope. As we get older, we are to have hope. When our children leave home, we are to have hope. When a fire comes to the mountains and kills 19 firefighters, we are still to have hope. However, hope does not make pain go away. Hope does not make loss hurt any less. But hope sustains us. Hope gives us strength. Hope pushes us forward when we don't think we have another step. Hope makes everything seem possible. As we mark the end of another year of 2014, it's easy to make wishes and even easier to make New Year's resolutions. But as wishes and most New Year's resolutions go, they will quickly fade. Statistically saying, by February, most New Year's resolutions are out the window, I think, is what they say. So let's not focus on wishes. Let's not focus on New Year's resolutions. Instead, let's start our year by focusing on hope. Have hope that things in 2014 will be better. Even if things were great in 2013, we hope that things will be even better for us in 2014. And if things weren't so good in 2013, let's have the hope that things will be better this year. Let's hope that we will make new relationships or that old relationships will be mended. Let's have hope that jobs will come, that employment for those who need in this country will be there. Let's hope in things that we undertake this year. However, having hope isn't just changing our vocabulary from wishing to hoping. It's really making a difference. The hope that it takes isn't a word change. It isn't come from people. It doesn't come from politicians. It comes from the one who created us, the one who came for us, the one who left heaven to be with us, to die for us. For 2014 to be a year of hope, we must commit ourselves to be like the early church in Thessalonica, who Paul said, your work should be produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and our endurance through it all must be inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. To endure it all, we must have hope. Apart from Christ, our work is nothing. We can labor, but we labor in vain. And without Christ, we lose sight of hope and find ourselves simply wishing on another star. As we leave here today, my hope is that we would make 2014 a year of hope. A year where we have hope and new possibilities and new beginnings. I've never been a part of a church that's had so many new pastors at one time. I'm already the old guy and I've only been here 2 months. There are so many possibilities in the hope that that brings. A hope that this year will be better than 2013. Despite all the blessings that God poured out on us, that we will continue to hope in 2014. 2014 marks 25 years of Pinnacle being a church as well. And as our scripture says, we need to look at the past, but we also need to look to the future and hope that the best years are not behind us, but the best years are still ahead. We will continue to do the ministries God called us to and continue to be a blessing in the world. The Magi came upon seeing a star, and they set out on a journey that they really didn't know where it would take them or who they would see, but a journey that was filled with hope that they would encounter the Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. And through that journey, their lives were changed. They were changed forever. In 2014, let us too set out on similar journeys. Journeys where our lives will be changed. Changed forever. Because we have been given a gift. The gift of knowing who Jesus Christ is. Knowing the hope that rests in Christ. And knowing that He provides each of us, every one of us, each and every day, a hope for a better tomorrow. Amen.